I'm saved.
Amen.
Amen. Say, why do you say that all the time? Because I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Glad I'm going to heaven when I die.
Amen.
Amen. Take your Bible tonight and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. While you're turning there, I'll read you a little something here. I didn't write this. I wish I would have, but I didn't. Another old preacher wrote this. I don't know, you other preachers in here, how you feel about this modern age or not, but I'm sick to death of anything that's wimpy.
Amen.
Anybody else like that?
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, I don't have a feminine side. Amen. If I did, you wouldn't want to meet her. Amen. I mean, I don't have a fluffy side. I not only have a gay bone in my, I don't have a gay cell in my body.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm sick and tired of this Joel Osteen type religion. I'm sick of it.
Tell us how you feel.
Amen. So what are you doing? I'm making myself mad. Because I like to preach mad. Amen. But I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the wimpy preacher.
Sure.
The wimpy church. The wimpy Christian.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm tired of wimpy teenage boys.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Man, show some guts. Amen. Man, preaching ought to do something for you.
Yeah.
Amen. But this says, I am a soldier. Amen. Here comes my gals. They're not going to be able to sit on the front now. Y'all need to move or something to get them on the front row. There's two seats here. Here they come. Amen. Amen. Now see, this illustrates a point. Amen. These gals have sat on the front row all week. And some of you boys. Little girly man. But this says, I am a soldier in the army of God. Now, y'all, this is group participation. You need to help me out here now. Amen. You need to say, amen, that's right. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word are my weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Ghost, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire.
Amen.
I am a volunteer in this army and am enlisted for eternity.
Amen.
I will either retire in this army at the rapture or die in this army, but I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out.
Hallelujah.
I am faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If my God needs me, I'm there. If he needs me in Sunday school to teach children, work with youth, help adults, or just sit and learn, he can use me because I'm there.
Yeah.
If he needs me in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival or special services, I'm there.
Yeah.
I'm there to preach, teach, sing, play, pray, work or worship. God can use me because I'm there.
Yeah.
I'm a soldier, I'm not a baby.
Yeah.
I do not need to be pampered, petted, primed up, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. I'm a soldier. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, entice me, or lure me. I'm a soldier. Amen. There's people who had to be begged to come tonight. Shame on you. I'm a soldier. I'm not a wimp. Amen. If you think I am, meet me out behind the church after. Just kidding. Really, I'm not. Said, I am in place, saluting my king, obeying his orders and praising his name. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, candy, or give me handouts. I do not need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to. I am committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me aside. Should I read that again? I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me aside.
Amen.
Amen. When Jesus called me into this army, I had nothing. If I end up with nothing, I still break even. I will win. My God will supply all my needs. I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph, for I can do all things through Christ. Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell will not have me. I'm a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me. For my commander calls me from the battlefield. He will promote me to captain and bring me back to rule this world with him. On a white horse. Oh, yes, he will. I am a soldier in the army and I'm marching, claiming victory. I will not give up or turn around, for I am a soldier marching heaven bound. Will you go with me? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But look at 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder." And looking around in here tonight, I notice there's some elders here. Some of the real old elders are here. Amen. Amen. But being as I'm getting a little bit older now, amen, I can exhort you. Amen. It says, "And a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you." Boy, I'm glad tonight that I'm part of the flock of God. It is a weird flock, but I'm glad I'm part of it. Amen. There's no other facet of society like the flock of God. I mean, you have got the most strangest looking array of different kind of people sitting right here. Amen. I mean, look from my vantage point here tonight. This is an odd bunch. But I'm telling you, the flock of God is the best people they are. They don't get no better than the saved folk. "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." Now, you pastors that are here, I doubt, if you're in it for the money, I doubt that you'd be an independent Baptist. A Bible-believing independent Baptist. Amen. I mean, if I was in it for the money, I'd get me a tent and be a faith healer. Amen. Be like a Benny Hinn. And some of y'all that wasn't here earlier in the week, just let me scratch this itch while I have it. I'm mad at Benny Hinn. Amen. I'd like to whoop him real good. Amen. Say, why? He's a crook. You see him. Tell him I said so. Kick him for me. Benny Hinn couldn't cure a ham. Amen. He's in it for the money. In the state of Alabama. Well, I said that and I got chills up and down my arms. In the state of Alabama, we do not have a lottery. We voted down the lottery. I reckon y'all got one up here. But we voted ours down. And you know what a lottery is? A lottery is a poor man's tax. Poor folk buy lottery tickets. The same people that buy lottery tickets believes that WWF wrestling's real. Amen. They're also NASCAR fans. They probably have a shrine in their house somewhere with a number 3 on it. Amen. But you know the concept of buying a lottery ticket is that you're going to strike it rich. I'm telling you, it's the same concept the faith healers use and them jaybirds on television. Send me in money and you'll get money. It's the same kind of concept. Folks, it don't work. Amen. That's not my message tonight. I just thought I'd throw that in. That's for free. Amen. It says in verse number 3, it says, "Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock." And if you've got a good man of God, a good pastor that's an ensample to you, you have got one of the greatest advantages in life. Where would some of you be right now without the man of God in your life? Amen. I mean, some of you'd be a mess. You're a mess now. Could you imagine what you'd be like? Amen. You girls, do you understand tonight how far somebody can go that's your age? Do you realize what mess you could be in? Amen. You mamas and daddies that's here, do you realize what your family could be involved in without the man of God? I'm telling you, it's a mess out there. Thank God for church. Amen. Said, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. So why is that in there like that? Because the younger have no sense. Is that right? Amen. If you don't believe that, just let them go for a while. Amen. They wouldn't even brush their teeth. There's boys in here that would not bathe if mom don't make them. Amen. I love a story I heard one time. You know, that there's nothing worse than a snotty girl. Can I hear an amen right there? A snotty girl that won't listen. There's nothing worse. And Buddy Cargill said he was sitting in church one day and three little girls walked up the center aisle of church while everybody was there. And they sashayed their way up. And one of them's like, you know, there's a lady there. It was one of them's mama. So, you know, like, Buffy, come here. And she turns her head and goes, no. And just sashays her way up through the church. Buffy, I said, come here. And she's like, laughs all the way up through there. Well, what it was is she'd been in the bathroom and her dress was tucked in her pantyhose. And she showed herself all the way. Amen. When you little old gals, when you're smart aleck, guess what you do? You show yourself. Amen. That wasn't it. That ain't in my notes or nothing. That had to have been by divine inspiration. Amen. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Verse number 6, this is what I want to preach tonight. You say, well, why'd you read all that other? So I catch some of you up on your Bible reading. It says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I want to preach a little while tonight on the hand of God. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you, God, for meeting with us and answering prayers. God, tonight, there's some folks sitting right in here that's been prayed for not only these last few days, but for months and maybe years. God, I pray that you'll get them real good and lost tonight. Show them their need to salvation. God, save souls and us that are here that are hungry, God, for you to revive us again and stir our hearts up, Lord, and fill us with the Spirit of God. I pray you'll move in this service and bless Brother Gary and his family and God, all the folks that make up here at Solid Rock and the visiting churches and God, every home that's represented, every ministry. God, I pray you'll bless Brother Jesse and continue to use him, Lord, as he started out in evangelism, God. Give him the meetings where he needs to be and take care of him, God, and fill him with the Spirit of God and use him. And Lord, put your hand upon him, I pray. And God, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to preach tonight on the hand of God. Now, I've heard this expression ever since I've been saved, and I know now, I know it's a reality, but I hate to hear it, but I've heard this, well, God took his hand off of him, or God took his hand off that church, or off her. And I'm going to tell y'all something here tonight. There is nothing more important for a child of God's life than to have God's hand on you. Amen. Amen. I can't think of anything more, amen, of somebody saying something good about you than to say, well, I'll tell you one thing, the hand of God is on them.
Yeah.
I mean, what better could be said about you here tonight? Now, tonight, I'm telling you, I'm preaching to a congregation that some folks have the hand of God on them and some don't. And before this is over with, amen, we're going to find out which is which. So how do you know that? I'll be able to tell by looking. You say, well, I don't believe you ought to look at people and try to judge them while you're preaching. Well, you do it your way, I'll do it mine. Amen. I mean, there's not a tight atmosphere in here. You have no reason in the world to look at me like this tonight. I mean, maybe you don't like the way I talk or something. I don't know, but man alive, being here, at least fake it. Amen. But the hand of God, one of Ezekiel's favorite terms in the Bible, was the hand of the Lord. And tonight, I'm telling you, you either have it on you or you don't.
Right.
Let me ask you this. What in the world could happen to you if he does take his hand off of you? Now, I'm not talking about losing your salvation. You cannot lose your salvation.
That's right.
But I'll tell you, it can get to a place where God don't have his hand on you.
Yeah.
Anybody here ever own their own business? Amen. Got a few. Amen. Have you ever you had employees under you? Maybe just your wife? Well, that's a bummer, ain't it? It's a bummer when your employee tells you what to do. But if you've ever had employees and had to hire people, or you ever worked a job, hopefully you have. Amen. If you're a young man, don't be a bum. Amen. Girls, don't marry a bum.
Amen.
That's why I wanted him on the front row. Amen. Don't marry a bum. If he won't work, do not marry him. You'll have to take care of his sorry hide. Do not do it. Amen. But if you've ever had an employee and that employee starts to miss work or starts to complain and have a bad attitude and comes in late and maybe come in drunk or hungover, there's a time there where you've got to make a decision. And the terminology is this: I can't use you no more. I'm going to have to fire you because I can't use you no more. Well, do you think it'd be any different with God? Amen. Doesn't God? Don't you believe that God wants to use you?
Yes.
I like what one preacher said. He said, I want to be what God intended for me to be. Do you reckon God intended for you to be something? But why don't you try to do it? Amen. And get under the hand of God. You say, well, I don't know if the hand of God's on me tonight. Well, I got good news for you. The verse we read in our text says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. You can do it here tonight.
Amen.
But I believe there's some ways that God will remove his hand off of you. Number one, if you refuse conversion. Do you know you can be saved and not be converted?
Yeah.
Amen. I've said that and it's some people look at me like, huh? Don't you know somebody like that?
Yeah.
Man, I know all kind of people like that. Amen. I know this. Being a convert to Jesus Christ means some things.
Right.
That means one thing it'll mean is you'll show up to church.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Amen. You'll be here for Sunday school.
Yeah. Get quiet.
Man alive.
Wow.
Boy, all the shouting we did last night, and here we are again. Amen. I know this, if you don't come to Sunday school, you're sorry and no count. Amen. Your feet stink, your nose is big, you don't love Jesus. Amen. Most of what you'll learn in Christianity, you'll learn in adult Sunday school or through the Sunday school program. My pastor says 75% of his pastoring is done through the adult Sunday school. And when you don't come, you wrong yourself greatly.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. I know this, a convert to the Lord Jesus Christ follows him in baptism.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. You don't hear baptism preached on very much anymore. Man, y'all are deader than a doornail in here tonight. Let me say that again. You don't hear baptism preached on much anymore. Do you not believe that somebody that's saved ought to follow the Lord in baptism? Are you not a Baptist? You ain't no stinking hyper dispensationalist, are you? You're not a dry cleaner, are you? Somebody that's saved follows the Lord in baptism. Amen. That's what a Christian does. You say, well, I've never been baptized. That's because you're sorry. Or maybe you just got saved and you don't know. But you need to be baptized.
Right. Right.
Amen. So what does it do for you? Get you wet.
Yeah.
So does it save you? No, it just gets you wet. But it shows everybody else you're following the Lord Jesus. Do y'all remember? How many of y'all remember when you were baptized? What, did a blessing? Man, I remember when I got baptized. Man, I knew about it. I was making a step. And the preacher preached about it, and I said, yeah, I need to do that. And I remember coming and being baptized. I remember bringing my little change of clothes and all. And I remember going back in the back room, and there at Bible Baptist in Pensacola, they had, you know, a room you go in, and the baptism, you know, is up here, the glass and all that, and the fancy picture. And I remember waiting my turn, and a couple other folks were baptized. And I remember stepping up, you know, and before long, I was next. And my cousin, Jim McGahey, he was doing the baptizing that Sunday morning. And I remember I was next, and my cousin looked over, and he seen it was me next. And he stepped over to the glass and put his hands on the glass there. He said, you know, there's some things you get to do in the ministry. It's a real blessing. He said, one of those is when you get to baptize a member of your own family. He said, this is my cousin, Mark, said he's gotten saved, and God rescued him out of drugs and all that. He's come to follow the Lord in baptism. Man, I stepped down in there, I felt like I was 12 feet tall. All the church folks were smiling. Amen. People was crying. My aunt and uncle was down there crying. My mama was crying. Amen. Her boy, come home. Amen. And I got baptized, you know, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, you know, and come up out of the water, and I went, woo! Amen! That's something that a Christian does. A convert.
Amen.
Got my hair cut.
Amen.
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 I quit my smoking.
Amen.
I believe I need to hit that a while, don't you? Christian ought not to smoke.
Amen.
We was in a meeting in Maryland. Brother Jesse knows old Bob Joseph. We was there at his church. I preach on smoking everywhere I go. I've been holding off here. I didn't figure none of y'all smoke till I got a little feedback. Amen. And you say, well, I don't think, you know, what's the use in preaching on smoking nowadays? I've had all kind of people right now that are some of my best friends, and they say, Brother Mark, thank you for preaching against them cigarettes. I said, you preached, God used that, and now I've got rid of them. And we was at Brother Joseph's, and two folks brought their cigarettes and put them on the altar. Buddy, we put them on the communion table. One of those fellows is preaching now.
Amen.
Amen. But they had those cigarettes on the communion table. And all week long, I had an illustration right there. I'd pick them cigarettes up, and I'd walk around with them. I'd pull one out and put it in my fingers like that. I'd say, what does this look like for a preacher to have a cigarette in his hand? I said, does this look all right? People, you know. And then I looked one night, and I said, hey, there's matches in here. I put it in my mouth and pulled the matches out. The pastor went, oh, no, Brother Mark. I said, well, what'd be wrong with that? Some of you cigarette-sucking smokers sitting here. Amen, it'd be dead wrong.
Yeah. Yeah,
amen. Amen, it's dead wrong. It's dead wrong.
Right.
Amen, amen. Now, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe the hand of God ain't on you. Maybe you got rid of them things this week. Maybe you feel the hand of God on you. How's it feel? Do you ever read your Bible when you smoke? Man. Huh? How about when you're rocking the grandkids? Amen. How about when you're praying? Lord, I pray you. I don't know. I just figured a Christian ought not to smoke. Don't you? Do I have anybody else that believes that?
Yeah.
Amen. There's a lady in our church. When I preach it every time I'm home, I preach it. There's some folks in our church that smoke. And there's a gal, I seen her at Kmart one day. And she walked out of Kmart and she took a big old hit. And here I come, and she went. She had it behind her back and smoke was coming out of her nose. I said, "Hey, sis, how you doing?" She's like, "Oh, Brother Mark," and smoke coming out of her mouth. I said, "Man, I ain't seen you in a while. I've been on the road, ain't seen you." She said, "Yeah, it's been a while." You know, I keep on talking to her. She's got that cigarette behind her back. After a while, sweat starts coming down her head. She goes, "Well, I think I probably need to go." I said, "Oh man, I ain't talked to you in a while." I said, "Well, you in here buying some stuff, Kmart? You know, just amen." I know convert to Christianity, they don't do drugs.
Yeah, that's right.
That includes prescription drugs.
Right.
Amen. They don't abuse that stuff. Amen. I'm telling you what, folks, I preach to people all the time in Bible-believing churches that are buzzed.
Yeah.
Higher than a kite. Amen. Some of the folks that are on antidepressants. Y'all see them. Y'all see them from up here. They look whacked out. Amen. A Christian does not do that.
Amen.
You don't have substance abuse.
Yeah.
Amen. How about you? Would anybody consider you a Christian? Well, if you've never converted over to Christianity, why would God put His hand on you? Amen. Let me say this. If you refuse conviction, I believe God will take His hand off of you. How many times does God have to convict you about something before He finally goes, "Well, okay. You want to do it? Go right ahead." Let me ask you this. Where would you be tonight without the convicting power of the Holy Spirit? Let me ask you this. You husbands that are sitting here, do you want a wife that God can deal with about her sin?
Amen?
How about you wives? Do you want a husband that God can deal with him about his sin and he can get it right? Keep a short account. If not, what in the world? You don't know what you got. Amen. Let me say this. Pornography is fornication. Amen. I would put MySpace.com in the category of pornography. Amen. And you parents that have teenagers, if you don't know what MySpace.com is, you need to find out whether or not your teenager has an account. And you need to go in there and read everything that they got in there. Amen. I mean, last night was a great service. We had a great time. I'm not belittling last night whatsoever. But I'm going to tell you something. If some of y'all got that MySpace, you need to get rid of it. Amen. And we'll wait on you. We'll wait on you to make up your mind.
Yep.
We got time. Amen. It'll ruin you. It'll ruin you. I know men right now that's got on it. It's lost their family. I know right now of a preacher that got on it. Ran off some lady he met on it. I know right now kids that grew up on the road in the ministry that I preached with and in my home and ate with. I know right now some of them kids are on there, and it broke my heart when I seen some of them in bars. Some of them showing their tattoos. Bragging on them. Look at here. Kids raised up, growed up. Say, "What? How could somebody do that?" God, take His hand off of you. Amen. Listen, folks, one of the greatest advantages you have being a child of God is the Holy Spirit will convict you of your sin. Without it, you are a disaster. Amen. And I don't know about y'all, but I want the hand of God in my life. Reject conviction. I was at a camp meeting Oh, it's been several years ago, and Brother Farley was there, and sometimes I get them older preachers to pray for me. I've had Brother Jack Wood pray for me, and Brother Earl Hughes, and Brother Biddle, I've had him pray for me, and some of the old timers, and Brother Farley. I went to him, I said, Brother Farley, would you pray for me? And we got on the altar, and he put his arm around me and said, God, you know, bless Brother Mark, his ministry, and all the normal things. Then he said something I'll never forget. He said, God, Brother Mark's going to go to some churches and ain't nothing going to happen. And the reason ain't nothing going to happen is because of unbelief. He said, Lord, give him the knowledge, give him the wisdom not to just kill himself there. Just preach what you give him to preach and go on to the next place where somebody will believe. You know what I've encountered here this week? I've encountered some sitting right here that will not believe. And I'll tell you what, it's broke my heart. But you know what? It ain't gonna get me out. It's your bad. So I'm just gonna preach what I have to preach, pray for you, and go to somebody that wants help. Because right now, evidently, the hand of God's not on you, and you could care less. I was at a church in Oklahoma, and there's a fella there in Oklahoma. Me and him go bass fishing. I don't know if y'all fish much up in this part of the country, but down south, fishing is a way of life. Me and him went out. The white bass would school up at daylight. And I don't know if you get a rush out of that or not. But the birds, you can see the birds following them white bass. And we get out there at daylight, had a nice bass boat, and we have a topwater popping plug. And had dual treble hooks on it. And you throw that thing past the school and just kind of plop, plop. And them things would just, they'd just devour it. I was catching two at a time on that plug. I think about it now and it excites me. But I'd go fishing with that fellow. Man, we'd have a blast. We'd have fun. And I went back to the church the next year, and the preacher come to me, and he goes, you know, Brother Mark, said, the old Brother Sal, you know, the guy you go fishing with, said he's gotten involved in all these bass tournaments. And said he's been fishing on Sunday now. And said he don't think nothing about it. He just lay out and go to them bass tournaments and miss church. And the preacher said, you know, I'm afraid God's going to kill him out there or something. And boy, I said, just even before I even thought, I said, no, worse than that is nothing would happen. Hey, worse than that, God, just take his hand back. Just say, you want to go fishing? Go ahead. And you know what happened? It's exactly what happened. God removed his hand off of him. And listen to me, within a year, he's run off with another woman. I'm talking about a guy in a Bible-believing, King James Bible-believing church. Say, what did he do? He put fishing above God. God took his hand off of him. What could happen to you if God takes his hand off you? Amen. Where could you wind up? What about your kids? How many kids in here right now know the hand of God's on them? My pastor stopped two young ladies in our church not too long ago, and I'm not afraid of this terminology.
No.
He stopped two young ladies in our church, and he goes, girls, let me ask you a question. He said, are you filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Them girls looked at the preacher and put their heads down, started crying. Said, no, preacher. He said, you can be.
Right. Yes, sir.
I'll ask you. You filled with the Spirit of God? Do you know what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God? I'm not talking about some kind of charismatic mess. Brother quoted the verse praying tonight. It says, if you walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, you can't know anything about God apart from His Holy Spirit. Nobody here has seen God at any time. If you have, it's because you ate too much pizza before you went to bed at night.
So, well, I seen a 60-foot Jesus one time. No, that's called window pane. That's purple microdot. You've never seen him. Not once. Nobody here has. Do you believe God's presence? Do you believe God was here last night?
Yes, sir.
Do you believe God's moved in the service here tonight?
Yes.
You know what it is? It's His Spirit.
Yes.
That's the Spirit of God. Amen. And a child of God that know anything about God. How many of y'all are saved and know it? Let me see your hand.
Amen.
Well, you got a hold of God one time then. You know how you did it? Through the Spirit of God. If you prayed today and actually got through to God, you did it by a Spirit. And to be filled with that Spirit is natural. Amen. Not to be is unnatural. That's to have the hand of God, the Spirit of God moving in your life. Without it, hey, you're a mess. And I got a good idea. There's folks sitting in here right now that have no idea what I'm talking about. The hand of God, is it on you? I'll guarantee if you refuse old-fashioned conviction, amen, He's liable to. I don't know when He does it. Amen. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I don't know all that many people that He has, but I know some. Amen. We see Him. Me and Brother Jesse were talking about youth camp. We've been involved in camp. When you go to camp, you got 7 or 8 churches come from all over the country, and you get to know those kids. We've known some of those kids that went back out in the world, and God took His hand off of them.
Yeah.
And some of them right now is in the worst mess. They're in a worse mess than lost kids could get into.
Yeah.
Amen. And some of you that know the truth, man, to get back out there in the world and all that, you'll be worse than a lost person.
Yep.
Refuse old-fashioned. I'll tell you what else. If you refuse correction. Amen. I don't know what part of your Christianity is like, but I know in mine, God corrects me. He chastens me. Amen. And every once in a while, I need a good whooping. Amen. So do you. I've got a whole message on the chastening hand of God. That message has made people mad. I've got 4 older brothers. I'm the youngest out of 5. My dad whooped us all the same. I mean, my dad would not whip you, he would whoop you. There's a difference. I remember when I growed up, I asked my dad one time, I said, Dad, there was some times when you whooped us and we didn't do anything wrong. One of us would do something wrong and you'd whoop all of us. And my dad looked at me and he goes, it was fun. I'm like, man, somehow I knew he was going to say that even. But you know, out of all 5 of us, 2 of my brothers never accepted that and to this day hold resentment toward my dad for whooping us. They're both in their 50s. And out of the 5 of us, those 2 are the ones that's had mental problems. Amen. And I don't know, listen, I deserve the whoopings I got. I mean, there was times, folks, I couldn't dress out for gym class. Some of these little old brats in here need a good beating. Let's just take a 10-minute break and whip every kid in here. Amen. I know one right now I'd love to take the belt to. Amen. Refuse correction. My brother, he's in his 50s. He told me one day, he said, Dad never did love us. And we was out fishing with my dad one time, and he said that to my dad. We seen him. He worked his way over toward Dad. We was fishing. He goes, Dad, let me ask you something. He said, when we was growing up, he said, you never did love us, did you? And you'd have to know my dad. My dad's fishing. He looks over and he goes, well, it was hard. He said, when you was little, said you was always messing your britches. always into things, puking all over the place and stuff. It's hard to love you. Me and my other brothers, man, we was on the ground laughing. He walked away, so I knew I wouldn't get a straight answer from you. I'll tell you this, though. How does a person treat God when God has to try to correct them? If they won't take it from their folks. Let me ask you kids something here tonight. How do you talk to your mom and dad? Any of you all sit here, you talk hateful to your mom and dad? Well, I could get real personal and ask your mom and dad. You know, one of the bad lists there in Romans chapter 1, where he's talking about all them sins, where he's talking about adultery and fornication and witchcraft and all that stuff. You know, one of those in that list is disobedient to parents. You know, I was preaching that at a rescue mission, and I had 65 men and about 10 ladies that were street people in a rescue mission. And I read through that list in Romans chapter 1, where it talks about backbiters, haters of God, you know, and all that stuff. And got down there, and when I read disobedient to parents, when I read that, I looked up, and out of all that group, 75% of them started crying. You know why they were in a rescue mission? They disobeyed their mama and their daddy. Amen. Did mom and daddy want you to smoke? Did mom and daddy want you to ever cuss? They want you to ever do dope? Well, if you ever did those things, you went against your mom and daddy. And there's some of you sitting in here tonight, probably no doubt in my mind, you don't treat your mom and daddy right. You're kidding yourself. You're ever going to have revival in your life till you get right with them.
Amen.
Amen. Refuse correction. Had a gal in our church, give you an example. Had a gal in our, she was our treasurer. She had married a fella in our church. And the fella that she married, he's the guy that I like to go visiting with in our church. There's some guys I don't. You got one guy that uses a manual. I refuse to go with him. He's like, you know, hi. My name is Michael. I am from Faith Baptist Church. But I go with this old boy, and they got married. He built her a house. They had a little old boy. He's a good feller. They start arguing over stupid stuff, just like everybody does. Amen. I mean, you know, you leave your drawers laying on the bathroom floor. I know none of you men do that. We'll be traveling on the road, staying at somebody's house, and my wife will come in and she'll go, look what you left on the bathroom floor. You know, which way you put the toilet paper on, whether it rolls off the top or rolls off the back. You know, just stupid stuff. And they're fighting and stuff. Well, she comes up one day, she wants a divorce. So he goes to the preacher, and the preacher meets with him, starts to counsel and deal with him. Comes in there, and she's got no biblical grounds. It's just, and he's repentive. I mean, he says, man, anything I'll get right. He loved her. Still does. She goes, no, I want a divorce. I want out. Preacher says, you've got no biblical grounds. If you do this, you're going to go against Scripture. You know what she said? I don't care. Preacher says, I can't let you be our treasurer no more. She got mad, left the church. You say, well, she probably should have. Well, she took four families with her. One of them was one of my pastor's best friends. Over one person that wouldn't take correction. Let me ask you, can that Bible correct you? If not, you're a mess. God's liable to take His hand off of you. Amen. And let me say this. If you rebel against the local church, God will take His hand off of you. You know what made me... There's a feller I know, one of my best friends. He's the reason I preach this message. This fellow had a talent from God, like Jesse's talking about tonight, that I don't know of anybody in our modern time that had more of a touch of God on them than my friend I'm going to talk about. I'm not going to use any names, but God gave him a talent to help the local church. And bottom line is, he could not subject himself to his own pastor in his own local church. And I'm going to tell you what God did. God took his hand off of him. I'm going to tell you folks something. I don't know how many people here are into music and all that. I don't know if anybody is except Jesse. So I'll tell Jesse. He's heard me tell it to him before. Talent is not spirituality.
That's right. Amen.
It's not. It's not. It's not. It's not.
Right, Richard.
Some people see you play the piano or play a guitar and sing, and they'll think because it's good that you're spiritual. It don't mean that.
That's right.
That fella had all the talents, all the goods. God took his hand off of him. And today, right now, he's off into false doctrine. He's a hyper-dispensationalist. He don't believe that us Christian has to pray for forgiveness of his sins. They don't believe in repentance for a Christian. They don't believe in chastisement. They don't believe that a Christian ought to be baptized. They're nuts. They're nutty in a fruitcake.
Yeah, you're right, preacher.
They're wrong, wrong, wrong.
Yeah.
And his wife don't go to church with him no more. His own son can't even talk with him about Bible issues. And he's almost ready to run his daughter and son-in-law off where they won't even have nothing to do with him. I seen his daughter a few weeks ago, and she looked at me and hugged me and crying on my shoulder. Said, "Brother Mark, I've never seen my dad bitter, so bitter as he is right now." Said, "I don't understand it." Boy, I thought in the back of my mind, I said, "Oh boy, for a nickel, I'd go to your house and I'd just whoop the daylights out of you." But it don't work that way. God took his hand off of him. Let me tell you something tonight, folks. And I know there's people from other churches here. The vehicle in which God moves is the local church.
Yeah,
these pastors that are sitting here, they're men just like anybody else. They're even a step lower. Because the Bible says God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise.
Yeah.
He chose the base things. The ones that God picked to be our leaders is a step below society. You say, why? So God gets all the honor and all the glory. Amen. And their office that they hold, it merits submission.
Yes.
You say, well, I ain't into all that stuff, pastoral authority. Well, be a rebel then. Amen. You'll be a nerd. Amen. I know guys right now that won't do that. You know where they are? They flip-flop around the churches all over the country. I know some guys right now call themselves evangelist. They're an evangelist. And they ain't had a pastor in years. I wouldn't give you a nickel for a guy like that. Amen. Say, why? There's an order to things. It's a local church. It's where the blessings of God are. Amen. Man, tonight, I tell you what, don't rebel against it. I went to preach at a church in Florida. And when I got there, the pastor had a family that was in a ministry. And in that ministry, this gal, the feller's wife, she got mixed up in immorality. Instead of trying to be crude and rude, I'll just leave it at that. It's bad. Preacher dealt with it. The feller wanted to stay with his wife. They was trying to reconcile things. The preacher set down some guidelines to go by. He said, listen, we can fix this. We can reconcile this. You've got to do this, this, and this. You cannot, I repeat, cannot ever have contact with this human being again in your life. Well, she did. The preacher says, I told you, you cannot do that. He said, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. That's not unreasonable. We went and having revival. I came in to have revival. That's the kind of stuff that we usually do. Usually come in when everything's falling apart. You want to go into evangelism? Water's fine. Had a preacher tell me a couple weeks ago, Brother Mark said, this meeting, my whole family rests on this meeting. There's one for you. Went to that church and I told the preacher, I said, preacher, if it'll go like I see it go all the time, you'll be the bad guy. He said, what do you mean? I said, you did nothing wrong. She did. But you will be the bad guy. And within a month, they were putting out a paper against their pastor all across America that he was wrong. I'm going to tell you, you rebel against the local church, God will take his hand off of you. Amen. Let me ask you tonight again, is the hand of God on you? Sitting here tonight, I don't know everybody here. I don't know. Somebody said this was your mama. Amen. I know we got other visitors here. Let me ask all y'all this, you that's got kids and youngins and older kids, are you serving God together? Is the hand of God on you and on your family? I know it is her. I can tell. Amen. I know the hand of God's on your daddy, but it ain't on you. Can be. Amen. I know the hand of God's on your family. Is it on you? I know it's on your preacher. I know it's on this church. Boy, it'd sure be a shame to be a part of something that the hand of God is directly on and not be... I'm telling you what, that'd be a mess. You talk about dangerous ground. You say, well, preacher, I'll be honest with you, I don't think the hand of God's on me. Well, there's good news. You can humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. So how do I do that? You come get under it. Then you can feel his hand on you. Tell you, there ain't nothing like it. Amen. I can't holler enough about it. There's no high that can compare to it. Amen. To feel God's hand on you. I went through a deal with my son about 6 years ago, 5-6 years ago now. That I'll tell you what, it just about blew me completely out of the water. Got a boy out for an evangelist. I said, man, I can't go on. I can't do this no more then. Everybody looks at me, my family. He had already moved out of the house. Nothing, he done right when he was home. And I remember, I told my preacher, I said, I quit, preacher. I said, I'm not quitting church. I said, but I can't be an evangelist no more. He told me, he said, you can't quit. I said, no, you don't understand. I already have. He went, no, you can't. Looked at him, he's this big around. I said, preacher, he took another step forward. You can't, son. I'm telling you, you can't. So where are you supposed to be next? I'm supposed to go to Houston next. Camp meeting. He said, well, you go. I said, I don't think I can, preacher. He said, you go anyhow. Drove all the way across 1,000 miles. You ever listen to your wife cry herself to sleep every night? Everything's, I'm telling you, seemed like the rug's pulled out from under you. Get down there at the camp meeting. 600 people there. Preacher comes up to me first thing Monday night. Brother Mark said, I'm looking to you start things off. I said, Brother Farley, I don't know. I don't know if I can do this. He said, I think you can, Brother Mark. Got up behind the pulpit, stood up there and looked at that congregation. I said, folks, I don't know if I can do this or not. Preacher come, put his arm around me and said, let's come pray for our friend.
Yeah.
They come gathered around the altars, prayed for me. I said, what'd you do? I humbled myself under the mighty hand of God. The Bible says that He may exalt you in due time. There's a boy walked up to me the next night. He said, hey, Brother McGahee, Brother Mark. I said, you remember me? I said, no, son, I sure don't. He said, man, I got saved 5 years ago when you was preaching. He said, Brother Mark, said, I'm pastoring now. Said, I came all the way here just to see you. Boy, I said, thank you, Lord. People write me letters. Don't quit, Brother Mark. Don't quit. Love you, Brother Mark. Hang in there. Stay in there. Hang in there. Get calls like that all the time. I got a call yesterday, California preacher. Hey, Brother Mark. Calling you to encourage you, brother. Hang in there, buddy. Love you. I'll tell you what, folks. The hand of God. Then the Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. One of the greatest verses in the Bible. You know, there's sometimes I've had to use that verse as a last resort to comfort somebody. Had a preacher grab me one time at a meeting, put his arms around me, and kept his head right there, and I held him while he cried. He said, preacher, my daughter, said she messed up. Don't know what I'm going to do. I said, brother, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Was at a juvenile facility one night. Preached to 200 girls. That juvenile facility, folks came to the altar, the girls came to the altar, and there's two girls off on the side, and we had a bunch of them at the altar, and this little girl, little black girl's going, Brother Mark, Brother Mark. Walked over, there's a little blonde-haired girl sitting there just bawling her eyes out. That little black girl said, she needs you, preacher. I knelt down there. She couldn't even talk. She just crying her eyes out. I said, young lady, whatever you've done, I said, the blood will cleanse from all sin. She looked at me and she goes, it's nothing I've done, preacher. I said, well, what's wrong, honey? She goes, these girls in here, I said, they're molesting me. Wanted to take her with me, but I couldn't. I said, what'd you do? I said, young lady, there's a verse in the Bible that says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. What a promise in the Word of God. Tonight, let me say this, here's the invitation. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Would you come? Humble yourself under the hand of God. Would you do that? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Jesse's going to come sing. Play. Would you come tonight? Would you? Would you? Is the hand of God in your life? Is He on you? You kids that are sitting here, you youngins, would tonight be the night you get saved? How about it? How about it? Is the hand of God on your life? Is He moving? Is He using you? Is He using you? Folks all up and down, is there anybody here that slipped their hand up and say, preacher, I need to be saved. I need somebody to take the Bible. I need somebody to pray with me. Anybody like that? How about just anybody that just needs prayer? Say, preacher, I need somebody to pray. Amen.